And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. So let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, there is timing to everything in the kingdom of God. There is timing to our salvation. There is timing to answered prayer. There is timing to wilderness experiences, and there is timing to promised land experiences. There is a time to give and a time to receive. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. Next, with that framework of biblical themes, we engage with the three greatest principles in the New Testament, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is defined as the most excellent way. Here it is as we close it out. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So to that end, we will examine what the living word of God provides us with in the written word of God that has been granted to us. Have courage, little campers. God gives us strength to do all things through Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us, you know, during the show, no problem whatsoever. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, kind of fun too. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Oh! You can call us, 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, that's like hearing an old worship song that you haven't heard for ages, and it still moves you.
Still has the blood on it.
Don't you love that? Oh, that's a good line. Still has the blood on it. Oh, I like it.
That's
a great way to say that. All right. So there's tons of stuff going on. We, of course, want you to be praying for the audience. We are actually going to go into prayer on purpose early. Before we do that, I want to lay a little bit of groundwork so everybody can be on the same page, so hang in there with us. As you know, we're doing two audiences from 1:30 to 2, and then back to our regular audience from 2 to 3. And so in lieu of that, we want to make sure everybody knows that we're not going to fail in praying for people. We're not going to fail in doing our best as we add in a new audience. Our whole objective is to take our arms and, after we've lifted them up to the Lord in surrender, we open them wide and bring in as many people with us as we go towards the Lord as we can. That's our goal. And so in lieu of that, I want you to know that if you've got a prayer request, something that's going on, we will pray for you. And it's important to get prayer. And sometimes prayer can be the very thing that just kind of, I don't know, bam, just knocks it over and gives you that ability to just stand up and smile more. If you've got a praise report and something's going on and the Lord has opened up a door or showed you something or revealed something to you or blessed you in something, look, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It should be something that we all do. The Lord does not think it's cute that we don't do it because we're afraid he wants us to proclaim what he has done, whether we speak well or not. So that's another element in that. In lieu of all that, and we'll do trivia in a second, we're going to go to prayer on some of these things that I already have before me. So I have a list of things that are going on, and I'm going to tell you what they are, and then that way you can all like just think about them as we're praying and offer them up before the Lord. First of all, Mimi, who's been with our show for quite some time, a blessing. You don't hear a lot from her, but she did come up and see me at Murphy Road Baptist Church. That was so
Dave.
It was so great. It was great just to see her. She's a blessing. Anyway, she's got some knee problems. Okay, so she's 78 years young, and she's a firecracker. I'm just telling you. She's got some knee problems and some back problems. We want to be praying for her. Kayla is the girl that we were talking about for Julianne and her, the person that's supposed to help her. We want to pray for her. We're going to add her into the list. Eric and Lisa, they both had surgeries. Eric's going to getting ready to go to therapy. And physical therapy. Anyway, that's all I can say. Two words for you, therapy. Anyway, so that's going to take place. We also want to be praying for Roz. She goes through her full recoveries, and Gary. And then Aunt Deb's got a situation that's a possible real blessing for her and her family, and we want to pray that the Lord will open that up for her, give her wisdom, and just pour out his grace on their situations. You think, well, does God do that? Of course. He counts the hairs on her head. So yes, of course. Let's bring it before the Lord in prayer. We'll pray, then we'll do our trivia and get into the teaching. And you'll have to love me because a lot of it's on love. That's a good one. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, we love you. We love you. We worship you. We thank you. We praise you. I mean, we look at your word. It's just clear. First, Paul said in Romans, first I thank my God. And this is what we do. We just thank you. We just praise you for everything. We don't understand everything. And Lord, you know what? We don't need to understand everything. We need to stand firm in our faith that we have in you, that you care about us so much, that you care about us so much. You share with us, you carry us, you help us, you love us, you protect us. And so we've got these different needs. You know, Mimi's got her need, physical, and Kayla with her situation. We were certainly praying you bless Aunt Deb and give her just great, great blessings. As she, you know, she'll honor you through that. We're just asking to bless her and comfort her. Let that be exactly the right timing. We pray for Eric and Lisa and their recovery and their whole process, for Roz and for Gary and for all the people that are amongst us that are hurting. We just lift them to you, and all the people that need a touch in their situation, like Samson and like Abraham and like Jay and like Brad and Dr. Jesse and just all of us, Lord. We all need the grace that comes from you. We all need the favor that comes from you. We all need to be able to go, you're here. So it's not only better, it's right. That's what we got to do. Help us to do that, Lord. We just worship you. We don't pray in our power and our authority. We pray in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen and amen. Okay. All righty. That's the way to get going there, right? We're just, I don't know, just feeling like the Lord's like, okay, let's get this stuff done. Yes, sir. Let's get it done. Yes, sir. Okay. All right, here you go. Let's see if you guys can get this one. A man named Ananias and his wife sold a possession and deceived the people into thinking that they were giving all the money from the sale of the church. Peter challenged Ananias, and he died. Later, his wife arrived at the place and continued the deceit. What happened to her? She continued the same deceit. What happened to her? What happened to Sapphira? Interesting, huh? 972-445-0770. That is the number you can call. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Kind of an interesting, challenging little question right there. I think you guys will get a pretty good handle on that. In the meantime, I am not going to teach you anything new.
Oldie but goodie?
Well, see, here's the thing. There is nothing new in the sense of it's all, at this point, revelation is taking place in Scripture, so now it's really all technically illumination. So it's not really revelation the way we think of, like, the book of Revelation. That was revelation. Illumination is when the light bulb goes off. And you go, ding, I get it. Okay, that's really what happens, just for those that are looking for the theological terminology. And that's kind of getting in the weeds. You don't need to do that. But here's what we do know for sure. Ready? I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13, and some of this you will love and some of this you will not love, but that's okay. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians 12:31. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Now, why am I starting with this? Because in Christianity, there's many great ways to walk, and of course, we want the best, right? It says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. What? There's a better way in the ways of the faith? Yes. I just want to say that with every ounce I have. Yes. Because that's what the Scripture says. It says quite clearly, eagerly desire the greater gifts or spiritual gifts, which is like, hey, those people that are like, oh, you shouldn't want spiritual gifts. Well, that is a complete contradiction to Scripture. It says eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Is that supposed to be just until 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 AD? No, that's ridiculous. But he goes, yet I will show you a more excellent way, the most excellent way. So when we take this call and we come back, you're going to know, hey, there's a better way. You're right. There is a better way. And it's not an ad from somebody who's doing commercials. All right, let's have the person come on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good that you're doing okay. You know, I do know that we just the last couple of days we got through our cooling trend of only 99.
Oh, I tell you, praise the Lord! I tell you, it was so nice today. I did. I worked outside in my front yard and now hurt my back. So,
well, that's not a good idea. You don't work to the point where you hurt your back. That's not good.
Oh, I know. But anyway.
All right, brother.
You know what? After I answer your question, you might want to pray for my back.
I will. Absolutely.
You know, I have a brother also, Daryl. He has a same problem that I have.
Okay. We'll pray for both of you, but let's do the trivia first, and then we'll pray for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Ananias and his wife, they sold a piece of property. See? Peter challenged Ananias about it, and then Ananias fell down dead. We say took a dirt nap. Okay, a dirt nap. That's what kind of what we call that. Later, his wife arrived at the same place, and she continued to deceive. What happened to her?
She dropped dead, too.
That is correct, Amando!
Oh, wow.
She also took a dirt nap. I just want to point that out.
She sure did. Whoa.
All right, well, let me pray over you and Daryl, okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, let's pray. Oh. Father, we come before you right now, lift up our precious brother. He's so much fun. We love him. And we just ask you to encourage him, let him know he's an encouragement to us. Just his attitude, his spirit is fantastic. And his brother, Daryl, and him, it's just it's back problems and difficulty in movement. It's frustrating, Lord. It's frustrating for us as people, especially knowing we've been able to do things and simply without any difficulty. But, Lord, there are times where as the body is going through its own struggle, we need help. We need the energy that comes from you, exactly like you talk about in Colossians. The energy that comes from you. And we're asking you for that energy to be into our brother, into his back, into his brother's back. Give them relief in the name of Jesus. Let them find accelerated healing from the body and a touch from your Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, Don. You know I love you, brother.
Love you too, brother.
All right. You keep us posted. Bye-bye. We'll keep praying for you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Wonderful to have Don. We just love you guys are great. You just understand. You're great. It's great fellowship. It's like, don't tell me it's not fellowship. It's fellowship. It's not church, but it's fellowship. That's for sure. All right, so let's go into this thing. I want to understand. I want you to get this, and I really want you to catch this. 1 Corinthians 13. We'll do 1 through 3, but we're not going to break it down. I just want to kind of do the basics here. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. By the way, the chapter that's always read in, what, weddings? People read it. Nobody.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It means they're filling time in the wedding. That's what it means. Verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Bang, 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 bang. That doesn't sound good. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Now, I'll say this real quickly, and then we'll give the definition out of agape love, but I want you to catch this. Look at these things. Okay, tongues of men or angels, people, it's like, what does that mean? Well, there can be a lot of different things, but obviously, in tongues of men and angels, these are people that speak well or beings that speak well. If you speak well, that's great, but without love, it means nothing. Okay, there's a lot of great spokespeople. They're actually on the media, and it means nothing. If I have the gift of prophecy, that's the big gift that Paul was talking about in chapter 12 that he's going to talk about in chapter 14, and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge. This is somebody who gets the stuff. And I have faith to move mountains. You know, mountains are big things. If you have faith, you're moving. That's a big thing, right? But if you don't have love, you're nothing. If I give all I have to possess the poor and give over my body to hardship, that's somebody that's laying down their physical life and their actual attributes, their actual financial elements for the kingdom of God. And if you do that but you don't have love, doesn't count. So you have faith to move a mountain. You've got miraculous things. You've got this taking place. You've given up everything. You're just wow, wow. And if you don't have love, nobody cares. And you know who said that? God. So, I know, every time I do this chapter, I feel worse. I don't feel better. I feel worse. And I've done it. I've taught it 25 times. Actually, every time I think, oh, yeah, yeah. Agape love is different than the other loves. You got, various loves. We're only talking about agape love. And let's just understand what agape love is. I'll give the definition, then we'll break. Agape love is, biblical agape love is a selfless, that's already in part hard for right people. A selfless concern for the welfare of others, not qualified by a person's lovability, but motivated by a desire to honor God.
There's a lot there.
No, you could probably do the whole show on this one thing. So I'm going to say it again. We'll come back. When I come back, I'll repeat it, and then we'll go into it. Here's agape biblical love. A selfless concern for the welfare of others. Not qualified by a person's lovability, but motivated by a desire to honor God. I think we'll break right here.
A little more of that.
Yeah, we're just going to break right now and take a breath. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I want you to catch something because for some reason the church feels the need to over-answer cultural changes that take place. Look at Jesus. He didn't care about anyone's opinion. That's what it says right in the text. And you do not care about anyone's opinion. Jesus didn't go, yes, I do. No, he didn't. He didn't. He never, because he didn't. That's exactly right. He is true. So they said, we know that you are true and teach the way of God. That's alethes, which means speaking the truth completely, nothing hidden, being real. He teaches the way of God correctly. That's a leletheus, which is the case is according to the fact, and doesn't care about anyone's opinion. The Greek word here literally means does not look at people's faces. In other words, when you're doing radio, I can't see faces except for Captain Chris, okay? I can't see if your face is giving approval or denial. Because the only way that happens is by text or phone or whatever the case may be. When an actor acts, they can look on stage and see with the audience if there's approval. Jesus didn't seek people's facial approvals. He didn't care. And you think, well, no, he cared plenty. No, he cared about the mission to save the lost. He didn't care about those who were going to reject in the capacity that he sought their approval. He never sought their approval. He didn't live for people's positive responses to him. He walked at the pleasure of the Father. Whatever the Father wanted him to do or say, that's what he did. Which is when you'll hear me say, we do it for the author and not the audience. Because I think some of you people are literally some of the nicest people I have ever met in my human journey. But you still don't have a heaven to put me in. And that's what it comes down to. And I know that says, that sounds so, you know, harsh or whatever. It's like, are you serious? Okay, if the Lord tarries and I die, you are not going to help me. I just don't really know the way to say it. You know what I'm saying? And so I want you guys to catch that. To catch, this is why Jesus was so different. It's because he spoke the truth. He said it according to what the truth was. And he didn't seek people's approval in sharing. He just was like, look, I'm telling you exactly what the Father told me to say. This is exactly how the Spirit's leading me. Exactly what the Father wants to be said. And then you look at that and you go, ooh, how about us? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Whoa, get ready for the next trivia question. It's a good one. Okay. And there's no intent to insult anybody. This is scripture. Remember? Okay. Samson told Delilah 3 times he lied about the source of his strength. So he told her 3 lies, right? But then he finally told her the truth. Why did he tell her the truth? Okay. So he told 3 lies, okay?
It's when the sky is blue.
You know, whatever, okay? And then he finally told her the truth. Why? Why did Samson tell Delilah the truth? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I haven't had a chance in the last day or so to do some jokes, and I want to do 3 of them.
It has been a few days.
I have to do it. And not only that, but wait till you hear history, because I got something else in the backup right there. So just I'm telling you now. Okay, the first one is longer, so you have to be more patient, and then there's 2 really short ones. Okay? All right, ready? All right, here we go. All right. A man was interviewing for a job. And remember, said the interviewer, we are very keen about cleanliness. Did you wipe your shoes on the mat before entering? Oh, yes, sir, replied the man. The interviewer narrowed his eyes and said, we're also very keen about honesty, and there is no mat. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Here's the other two. These are fast, but they're cute, right? Why did the archaeologist go bankrupt? Because his career was in the ruins.
See, because he's small.
I know. But he's an archaeologist. So it's in, okay. Why did the donut maker retire? Because he was fed up with the whole business.
It's in the hole.
All right, we'll just leave it there. Okay. They're cute. Come on. All right. So Samson told Delilah three times. He lied to her about the source of his strength. He finally gave in and told her why did he do that. What happened? 972-445-0770 is the number to call. 214-210-8483 is the text. And then David at hemustincrease.org is the email. Al seems to think it's related to do not have TV to turn up.
Gotta be careful now.
Okay, I'm just gonna move on from there. All right, so in the first part of this, and we'll go a little bit longer, and I don't know who knows what's going to happen. Let's just go into this. Here is the first part of this. I want to go through this, and this is, you guys know this, but it's very, very potent to really kind of hammer it home. And here it is. There are a list between 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 6. There's a list. There are 8 don'ts and 3 do's. Okay? Why? I don't know. There's some theological thing. I don't think so. I just think it's like, don't do these things, do these things. I think sometimes that is what scripture is. I just don't know if we need to make it, you know, bigger than it is, but, you know, people try and do that. That's okay. Here it is. First thing, 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Ready? Love is patient. Okay. How's everybody doing so far? Watch this. Dynamite D is patient. How's that feel?
I wish.
Yeah. See, you put your name in there. It's so brutal. You put your name in there. Wow. Ow. Right? Dynamite. See, love is patient. And that patience has much to do, and I think most people will acknowledge this, system has much to do with faults. I mean, there's a lot to do with faults. People are kind of like, you know, you got to be patient with faults. Love is kind. You think, what is kind? Kind is doing good. That's what it is. It's not rocket science. Kind is doing good. Do something good. That's kindness, right? Without having somebody to urge you to do it, you just do it, right? Now, here's where it gets a little tougher. It does not envy. What is that? That means that you want other people to have the best. What that means is that if somebody else has a really nice car, you're not going, I wish I had a car. If somebody else has a really nice anything, you're not going, I wish I had that. Because that's envy. What you should be doing when we're loving people is going, awesome, that's great for that person, and really mean it. By the way, God knows if we really mean it. So you can say that, but it's got to be real because God will examine it. It's like, ouch. It does not boast. Okay? One of the reasons I have a hard time talking about my doctorate and my education and so on and so forth is because I'm already arrogant. And then that just makes me more arrogant. And so I fight between that. I'm just telling the truth. I'm not just as honest as I can be. There's a sense of humility that the Lord looks for, and he doesn't like pride. And in fact, he fights against people that are prideful. It's like, wow, I don't want God fighting against me. I already have enough stuff going against me. It's like, I don't want God going against me, right? Here's the next thing. It does not dishonor others, okay? So in a sense, when we talk about that, it's that phrasing would be the proud. It's not proud, I think, is the next line in there. Is that correct? Would you add your ESV? Is that, what does your next line say?
I do. I'm scratching up a Bible. What verse?
Verse 5.
Verse 5 says, does not insist on his own way.
Okay, so that's a. Is there one before that?
I done marked up this Bible. It's hard.
Okay,
to
you can't see it. All right. So it's just not dishonor, and it's not self-seeking, and not easily angered. So in a sense, we'll just cover some of these because we don't have to go. Easily angered is easily irritated. You know what that's like? That's touchy. People who are touchy. That's anybody in the news. Every person in every news media.
Every station.
Let me explain this to you. You're thinking, no, that's just the liberal ones. No, it's not. it's as touchy, as conservative, as liberal, as Republican, as Democrat. That's all. And by the way, let me just say this because this just irks me. The media reports on other media. You just don't understand. That's the height of narcissism. But that's
it
okay.
Really is, Dave.
It's like they always report about themselves and their own people and their own industry. How's that different than Hollywood? Anyway, let's just go back. It's not self-seeking. Now, self-seeking is pretty straightforward. You're not selfish, right? It's like you're just like, oh, it's not. I'm not going to be self-seeking. So the other one was doesn't dishonor others could be that it's not rude is what it is. It's not proud. Proud is what? Looking down on others. I'm better. You know who talks about this is the Apostle Paul when he talks about people in the body. He says you can't be a person that's like, I don't need these people. Yes, you do. You need everybody, everywhere, in every body, in every capacity. All that's great. It's not the hardest stuff yet. I don't think it's the hardest stuff. This one's the hardest stuff. Ready? Keeps no record of wrongs. Not hanging out onto the past burns. Right? You have to be wise. So if you've, you know, if you want to be careful, but if you really forgive somebody, you can't keep bringing it up because that's not really forgiving. I forgive them. I just don't forget. 95% of the time we say that, that's just a direct lie. You don't forgive them because you cannot stop thinking about it. It's like, that's just not true.
And that's a popular type of quote in society.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgive him. I just don't forget him. Really? If God didn't forget your sins, you'd be. We'll just move on right from that one. And then this is one I really like, and I don't think it gets a lot of play. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. What does that mean? That's not happy about evil things. Not happy about other people's sins. You know what love is? Not happy about other people's sins. You know all the people with a transgender and the LFBGQRSTU? They can't. There's so many letters in the alphabet, they might as well just start and use numbers with it. At least that can go to infinity. But the bottom line is, you don't delight in evil. I don't delight in evil. Loving somebody is not being happy that they're living a life of sin, according to Scripture. Well, I don't know what I am. You mean God doesn't know how to make you? Wow. You want to insult your Creator some more? Nothing more brilliant than this line. A scientist, by the way, who said, 80% of the time I feel like this, but 20% of the time I feel like this. There's a lot of science there. Anyway, my point in saying this is you're not happy about that. What you're happy about is rejoicing in the truth, happy about the right things, happy about sincerity, happy about righteous truth elements. That's just in those 11. I'm guilty of all of them. I'm guilty. I ask for forgiveness regularly because I need forgiveness. All right, we do have somebody that's going to call. We're going to give him a chance to answer a trivia question. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is John. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, John. How are you doing?
Well, okay. Okay, not too bad.
Not too bad? Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Give us an update. You can give us an update when you do after the triv.
Okay. Still the same old, same old. Sorry, I wish it was different, but sound like a broken record.
No, but see, you don't understand. That's okay, and this is what I want you to do. I never want you to hesitate to call in because it's the same old, because that also encourages people that, look, we still have time to pray. We still have time to pursue. So even though it feels weird, and I'm sure it does. I appreciate that. It's the same thing that goes on with Easton. It's like you keep hoping for this, and you keep hoping for this, and you just but not having that opportunity is much worse.
Oh, that's true.
So never hesitate. So we'll still pray for afterwards, but before we get there, you got to answer the trivia question, which I cannot believe so many people missed. It's unbelievable. So here, I'll give you the chance. Samson told Delilah 3 lies. Then he finally gave in and told her the truth. Why did he do that?
Well, she bugged him to death.
That is correct! Exactly! You are exactly correct. She nagged him, just unstopping, nagged him and nagged him and nagged him until he couldn't stand it anymore and he was going to lose his mind. That is exactly why she prevailed, because he was like, I can't take this. I can't take this.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I was thinking, that was my first thought, and I thought, wait a minute, I better look it up. And, of course, the King James says she vexed him to death, you know, so... I thought I'd put it in the modern vernacular and just say bugged him.
Yeah, I mean, there is no question. Let's just say, she just drove him batty. I mean, that's just what he just uses, like, ay, 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 this is getting crazy. I mean, so much so that he just gave in, like, I quit.
Yeah, yeah. But he redeemed himself. That's what,
he did.
He gave his life, you know, because he said, yeah.
Yeah,
he repented and just...
That's that old joke, you know. Who is the best showman in the Old Testament? It was Samson, because he brought down the house. I mean, that's
yeah. That's I've heard that.
All right, well, I want to pray for you and for Nola and for the family, because we love you guys and we want to be able
Thank
to pray
you.
For you. Okay, so let's pray for him.
Love you too.
Let's
also.
Do it, Father. We just come before you and lift up our brother to you. We lift up his wife. We lift up their kids. We lift up Nola, specifically Nola, because Lord, she's the target. She's the one that we're asking you to touch. But while that's taking place, she needs to have good atmosphere of faith and confidence and hope. Right. And that's what we're praying for, a refreshing of the hope, a renewal of the hope, a renewal of confidence. Because, Lord, that's an anchor to our soul, and it keeps our faith open for you to do stuff in our lives. And please, please, please touch Nola. And, Lord, touch the parents with a sense of hope and confidence. And John and his wife with peace, and the entire family. Grace upon grace upon grace for these folks. We love them. We ask you, we petition you, in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, pour it on them. And a sense of comfort that goes along with it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right.
All right, brother. Well, love it when you call in. Never hesitate, bro. Never, never hesitate, okay?
All right, well, keep on carrying on.
All right, you got it. All right.
Keep on keeping on. Okay, thank you, David.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right, so here, isn't that fun? We're so far off, Mark. Should we just skip the whole thing? Because I just don't even know.
What we're doing. Are we?
All right.
But it's so much fun, though.
Delete. I don't know. What delete? What are you going to delete? Can you delete those little thingies?
The break? You want to skip a break?
We'll skip a break. We'll break at 43.
Okay, that'll work.
That'll work? All right, well, we're going to skip it. I don't know, folks. I don't know what's going on
today. You know,
it's
interesting, Dave, that the answer that the brother just gave made me think about Proverbs. The wife, you know, Proverbs talks about that. The dripping faucet.
The dripping faucet.
Yeah.
Right. And what's even more amazing for those that are, like, going to take offense to us is Jesus taught us that that's how we should pray. We should pray with that persistency, because it was the lady. Remember the example he gave? It was the lady that kept knocking on the judge's door. It says, give me vengeance, give me vengeance, give me vengeance. You can bet she didn't knock once and say, hey, can you help out? Okay. And Jesus is teaching us to pray. He said, she kept knocking. I was like, no, go away. And she's like, nope, 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 nope. I'm not going anywhere. See, that's a powerful, isn't that a powerful, that's a powerful teach. I just think it is. All right. Okie dokie. So I want to keep this teaching going, but we've not done our DNA. So we got to do our DNA. So we're, you know, just so far behind in everything that.
This might be the latest we've did today. I know I've been saying it like two or three times the past week.
We're getting late in this stuff. Okay. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
All right. So how much time have you, I'm going to say this myself, to you, David, to you, the audience, spent, how much time have you spent with the Lord, separated time today? That's a fair question. One that we should be accountable to one another for. And not a legalism, just we need it. It's like, I don't know if I need oxygen. Try and go without it. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, no matter what false prophets, false ministers, false people that teach from their own self and not the word of God. Just doesn't matter what they say. Who cares? You should not even care anymore. It's like, you know, you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Just stand in the truth. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
Which means other people matter, which means we care about other people. And when you care about other people care about you. That's being wise, right? That's what the Lord set up. And do you think he knew that as it was getting closer and closer to the end that the persecution would get worse and worse? And whenever that departure is until that time, don't you think we should be supporting one another and standing with one another as brothers and sisters until that time takes place? Yes. Because that's what he wants. That's why he said, love one another as I have loved you. All the way in for each other. That's really what it is. Oh, that's a good one. All the way in for each other. Boy, write that down. That's good. All the way in for each other.
Stuff will be so different.
The world would be different if we were doing what Jesus said. All right. That is that. I'm going to do the next trivia question. And I am going to, let's see, we're going to break. But I'm still going to do it. Yeah, we'll just see what happens. I am going to do the next trivia question. Let's see if you guys can get this. This is a good one. In Matthew, what book did I say? I said Matthew, right? First gospel, right? First of, okay. During his temptation in the wilderness, Jesus responded to the devil with what phrase multiple times? How did he respond to the enemy? With what phrase, terminology, did he use? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am going to send you up to the website, even though somebody is calling in. Have them hang on a split second if you can. I want to send you up to the website to remind you about a couple of different things. Please don't forget about the different things that are on the website. Don't forget to be praying for people. Don't forget that there is... in fact, there's a new video that Joshua put together that's at the very bottom of the front page. Check it out. It's pretty good. I mean, I give them credit. It's good. Additionally, our scripture, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. What's that about? That's about giving. And on our website is a place to give. And if you hadn't figured it out yet, giving is a very positive thing. Remember I told you yesterday about the legalism that I was going through?
You did.
I stopped that, right? And the Lord gave me that freedom today and was able to give it to a new place.
Oh, wow.
Cool. I was just so happy about it. I was like, praise the Lord, because I was happy to give it. Anyway, all right. So we will send you the website, and then we'll take the trivia person. Go to the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
We gotta talk to Jennifer. I think she's just really a secret Star Wars fan.
She's Star Wars out.
All right, that's just what's going on. All right, somebody's ready to answer trivia questions. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Dr. David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are ya?
I'm good, thank you. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, and thank you for calling me doctor. That was very nice. That's very sweet of you. I appreciate that. All right, here you go. Classic question. All right. What was it, the phrasing that Jesus used in his temptations? What did Jesus, how did he respond to the devil multiple times he said it?
And it is written.
That is correct, Amundo! So he actually quotes the scriptures. I would have went with the scripture says or anything like that, but it is written. In another place he goes, it is also written, which tells you that there's more to it. You got to read more of it. You got to have a balance. But it's all amazing because his responses all came from Deuteronomy. And what's amazing that is that he just used one book and just like, nope, you're not getting through. Here it is. Bam, done. Like, wow. But that tells us that's our weapon, right? The word of it is written. That's our weapon against the enemy's attacks. It's the word of God. Excellent job, by the way.
Okay, thank you, and y'all have a good afternoon.
Okay, hey, do you got anything going on? Any prayer requests? Or are you doing all right?
No, I'm doing all right.
Good.
And my friend Susie, she's doing a little better.
Good, good.
And I appreciate all the prayers for her and my other friends as well.
Amen. And if you've got anything that comes up, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And people, please keep praying for Susie so she gets better and better. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you, David.
All right. God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. We'll take our break and then come back so I can catch my breath. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
So there's teaching in the church. Most of you, if you're familiar with the shepherding movement, just so you can know, Bob Mumford and Derek Prince, people who were influential in the church, came up with this idea of the shepherding movement, that the shepherd is responsible for the people, and because the shepherd is responsible for the people, the shepherd should have authority to help them make decisions in life. Initially, the idea is good in the sense of making good decisions, moral decisions, so on and so forth, but it quickly grew into abuse where people were making decisions about relationships, jobs, locations of living, how much they were giving, the whole nine yards, okay? Pastor Ken was a huge fan of the shepherding movement. He just didn't know it was called the shepherding movement. He just liked the control. So he would say to us, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. You can't speak against me. It's okay that you took down the rabbi, but you can't do that to me. I'm going to read you a scripture. I'm going to show you where the error is so that everybody can understand how deep the fallacy goes. This comes out of Psalm 105, and this is verse 8. And I'm going to show you something that a lot of people won't show you because they don't understand the word context. Verse 8 in Psalm 105, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, then confirmed it to Jacob, to Israel.
To who?
To Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan and the portion of your inheritance, when they were only a few in people. Very few and strangers in it. And they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them, and he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed one and do my prophets no harm. In context, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophet no harm is all the people of Israel. And God was telling all these different Gentile nations, don't touch my people. Don't touch my people. You touch my people, you're going to be in trouble. Bad, bad, bad. Don't do that. I'll blow you up. I mean, this is like that kind of thing. And what the pastors have done is they've taken that verse out of context, even though it refers to the people of God. And you think, wait, are you telling me it's not the leaders? Touch not my anointed one. Christ means anointed one. Christians is anointed ones. Specifically, that passage is about people who don't believe in God touching God's people. That's exactly what it's got nothing to do with a pastor by himself.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Oh. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Now, this is going to be a tougher trivia question, okay? But I mentioned this before, so it'll kind of depend on if you guys were listening or not a little bit, okay? All right. So we know that there's the Paulinian epistles. Those are the ones that are written by Paul, and the general epistles, okay? What epistle of Paul's was his last epistle that he wrote? Warning, the answer is not the order that you're, you know, you have list the Bible order from Matthew to Revelation. That is not the answer. But it is, in fact, a second epistle. There you go. There you go. That's a big hint right there. It is a second epistle. What is the last epistle that the Apostle Paul, well, last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. That's a pretty good tongue twister right there. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's go back to our text. We are at verse 7 of our text. We want to make sure that we do our best and get it right. And verse 7 is pretty straightforward. It says this: love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is love. We're talking about love and all these powerful aspects, right? We talked about patience and kindness and envy and boasting and being proud and rude and self-seeking, easily angered, keeping no records of wrong, doesn't delight in evil, but delights in the truth. Now we get this definition in 7, again, undertaught. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Always protects. What does that mean? It covers, it's actually the Greek word is stego. It covers over, it defends. I'll give you a great example, okay? My wife does something wrong and somebody else is involved, I would defend her. Okay, now that doesn't mean I won't talk to her later and say, hey, but I will always defend her because defending her is a part of my love for her. And that's not a perfect example, but it is an example. Do you understand? You defend each other. And when I think it's really sad when Christians fall or when they have a hard time that other people in the world kind of like make fun of them and so on and so forth. And when the church piles on, that's the opposite of this. Oh, yeah, that just shows they're this. Okay. Doesn't show anything. In fact, people that helped you along the path of Christianity and probably had a lot to do with your beginning might not be the star heroes you might think they are, but they're your brothers and sisters, and you defend them. You stand by them. Now, if they're doing evil, they're doing evil. But what I'm trying to say is you don't pile on against them with the world, right? That's wrong. You defend one another. It protects. You protect each other. You always trust, always love. Trust means, you know what it means? It believes in other people. Do you believe the Jesus that's in other people? Or is every, you know what I'm saying? Like before Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit, you'd have a better argument to say no, no, no. But now that the Holy Spirit's abiding inside of us and Jesus lives in our heart by faith, it's like, no, you got to believe in other people. Believe in your brothers and sisters. Always hopes, it's impossible to get away from this one, looks at the future and sees the good. Remember what we just talked about with John praying for Nola? There's always a hope. There's always this, look at, until the Lord says there's nothing left, there's always hope. But the Lord has to be the one that says that. And then this one, which is always perseveres. Love never quits. Love doesn't give up. Did you get that? Love never gives up. Just keep hanging in there and hanging in there till you can't. Right? And then verse 8. Love never fails. Where there's prophecies, they will cease. Where there's tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. Walking in love is the way that God intended us to because he is a God of love. It's just not the love that the world has designed. And that's the biggest problem and the biggest difficulty in this whole process is that people operate in a love that is connected to the world. And the problem with that is the world's definition of love is absent of truth. In fact, there's even a church in Texas, they say that all we do is love the way that Jesus loved, and no sin is addressed, and no, it's not a big church in Houston, and no sin is addressed, and no lifestyle is wrong, and nothing is ever, ever, ever wrong as long as you love, love, love one another, and it's peace and rock and roll and get drunk and get high and it's all good. I got a message for you. That's a demonic gathering. There is no God there. Jesus is not there. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, it says, God disciplines those he loves. Just like there's none of that. That's why real love only rejoices in the truth and does not delight in evil. Okay? So when we walk in that, we walk in it the way that the Lord wants us to walk, but in his definition of love. Five ways of love. I just want to say this real quickly, and then we'll answer the trivia question. There's God's love to us and our love to God. There's our love to others and other people's love to us. And then there's our love to ourselves. And the thing is, those are all active, but they all need to run through the biblical lens. Okay? I bet you $1 billion you don't give yourself enough love. Bet you $1 billion. Because a lot of people don't do that very well, right? The summation of the Christian life, Mark 12, 28 through 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbors, love yourself. And then Jesus, right? Jesus dropping in the love one another as I have loved you, which is more than we can love ourselves. There's a lot of love stuff in this, Dave, right? This is like a challenge.
That was good, though, Dave.
It's definitely a challenge. All right. So now on the trivia question, don't freak out. You don't have to be a scholar to know this stuff. This is just stuff that's good to know. What is the last epistle that Paul wrote from what we can tell from all the numbers and everything, the timing and the putting it all together? The answer is going to surprise some people. 2 Timothy is the last epistle that Paul wrote, and the epistle is not the wife of an apostle, as we've said. 2 Timothy. And that would be the last thing that he wrote. Okay? Just to let you know. All right. I hope this show has been a blessing. If you missed any of it, check it out on the podcast. And then if you have an opportunity to give, don't hesitate to reach out to us and give. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.